Hey, this is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into On the Record right here on Radio Tacoma. You can check us out at radiotacoma.org or like us on Facebook. There you can find all our shows and information on how you can get a show and listen to, and also how to listen to Radio Tacoma. So today we are back on it with our show. We took the summer off, had some other things going on, but we're ready to go today, and we're going to be doing a show today on medical cannabis. And I was going to do, I had put this show together around July 1st, earlier this year, because that's when the medical cannabis system here in Washington State, the previous one, officially shut down. And what happened was, and I'm going to cover three things today. We're going to cover medical cannabis in Washington State. We're going to cover what is medical cannabis. And the last thing we're going to talk about is how does medical cannabis work. So Washington State first. In 1998, Washington State passed a people's initiative that legalized medical cannabis for personal use. And basically that just allowed people to grow at home. Now there was never any kind of, you know, regulatory scheme. It's amazing to me that in all those years, nobody in the legislature was able to get something passed as far as how to regulate medical cannabis. So from 1998 to around 2011, medical cannabis in Washington State was pretty much underground. The best I can understand, I moved here in 03. Before 2011, it was basically like medical marijuana or marijuana in other parts of the country where it's just kind of like you kind of got to know a person. But in 2011, there was a great article I was just reading on this the other day called The Lost World of Medical Cannabis, 2011 to 2016. Check it out. In 2011, some of these shops started kind of popping up above ground in Seattle. Some legislation was passed that kind of opened the doors to this in 2011. They almost had some medical cannabis legislation passed in 2010. Obama said he wasn't going to arrest medical cannabis growers. So all these kind of things came together and people started opening up storefronts. And they started doing these things called collective gardens. Well, basically that was, you know, you get some people together and y'all put your resources together and you grow, and then you dispense your cannabis out to those people who chipped in. And then it sort of morphed into, you started coming in buying cannabis. Like by the time I came to the medical cannabis here in Washington State in 2013, it was kind of like going into a jewelry store for weed. And you go in there, they had all the jars laid out and you could choose what you wanted. And for the best I could tell, the system was working pretty good. Of course, you know, there was a little bit of things they wanted to fix up. They had all the products you wanted. They had everything you needed. But then along came I-502 in 2012, which famously legalized marijuana for recreational use, meaning you can smoke it to get high off of it and party. And there was a lot of patients said, no, this is a bad idea. But, of course, the state went along with it. And right from the get-go, there were some signs that there was going to be some problems. The LCB didn't want to let patients grow, the Liquor Control Board. You could tell the I-502 wagon sort of circled, and it became apparent that people weren't seeing the medical cannabis community that had developed here in Washington as an asset. It was sort of like a liability or a competition. And unlike Colorado, they didn't allow these folks first dibs on the licenses. So by the time 5052 was passed, the Cannabis Patient Protection Act, which I like to call it the Cannabis Patient Pain and Suffering Act, was passed in 2015, you know, the recreational market was off and running. And they said, okay, we have all these new shiny stores. All you medical cannabis shops that had been open since 2011, you know, we might let one or two of you in as far as getting licenses, but the rest of you guys got to shut down by July 1st. And so over the next year after they passed the 5052, all the medical cannabis shops, which I don't even have an accurate number, but there were thousands of these things around the state, were shut down. All the farmers markets were shut down. And so all this work, all these people had done all over the years of developing clientele, developing products, developing medicines, developing new ways to distribute cannabis and give it new ways to take it. All that was sort of lost. And those people, I mean, who knows where they went? I guess they're all out of jobs now. But what is left is the I-502 cannabis system here in Washington, where you can go into the store and you just walk up to the counter, and if you have a medical license, you have to do a registry now. You have to put your name down on a database saying, "I use medical cannabis." You can grow, all these stipulations, but it's still kind of like a jewelry store for cannabis. And I have to say that we are really extremely lucky here in the state of Washington to have legal marijuana. So I know a lot of patients do complain about the new system. We lost a lot. We lost a lot of genetics as far as cannabis goes. We lost cheap marijuana. We lost different products made from marijuana. We lost the ability to get clones. We lost high CBD products. So on and on and on. The medical cannabis community here in Washington State was really screwed over. And we really took a beating as far as the I-502 system goes. And you can blame both parties for that, Democrats and Republicans, although the Democratic governor did sign it. But having said that, we are still extremely lucky here in Washington State to have this. And it's very hard to get yourself locked up for marijuana here in this state. And I'm hoping with the new laws that they don't start locking up patients, which I haven't seen any prominent ones yet, but I'm sure they're coming. So, what is medical cannabis? What is medical marijuana? What is weed? So they've got all these different names: chronic, bud, Buddha. It's just hundreds of them. And starting off, though, I'll say that, and I saw this. I can't remember where I read it, but there was somebody describes this as this was actually taken from us. This plant, starting in the early 1900s, was eventually taken from the people in 1972 with Richard Nixon's failed war on drugs and the laws he passed then. But medical cannabis has been used for thousands of years, and it was used up through the 1800s and all the way up through the 1900s in the United States. I was just listening last night. Jesse Ventura has a new book out, The Marijuana Manifesto. He was talking about how the United States was basically, founded on hemp. They had to use the sails were made out of hemp, the paper was made out of hemp, the rope was made out of hemp. And a common misconception is that the marijuana plant and the hemp plant are two different plants. Nope, they are the same plant. It's just one has been bred for a nicer stalk, and one has been bred to produce more psychoactive compounds. So it just kind of depends on the breeding. But they are the same plant. And there are many accounts of imprisoned Africans, aka slaves, using cannabis in the fields. And it so this is not something that was foreign to people. It's just a lot of things came together, the pharmaceutical industry and the paper industry and the wood industry came together and kind of took this. But medical cannabis is a plant, the cannabis sativa plant, and it grows all over the world. It came from Africa up through Asia, through North America, over to North America, eventually South America, and then up to North America. And people use it. They use the stems, the stalks, and the flowers to relieve different medical symptoms. And I'm just reading recently, people also using the roots. Now, the hemp plant, they don't use it. That's used for the rope and the fiber. So it's just a plant, just like any other plant, to grow in your backyard, just like a tomato or a cabbage or whatever, basil, or people grow lavender, any kind of other herb or spice people grow and use it for medicinal uses. This plant is just the same. It just so happens that it was taken from us again, and you can go to prison for this plant. Now, when we talk about medical cannabis, that opens up a whole different thing than just the plants, the stalks, and the flowers. The leaves, the stalks, and the flowers. At that point, we're talking about all the different things you can make out of it. So you can, of course, smoke the flowers, smoke the leaves, but then you can take all those and you can make balms of like lotions. Let's say you had a sore knee. You get you a CBD lotion and you rub that on your knee every night when your knee hurts, and you'll get relief from that. And that's medical cannabis. Let's say you have anxiety and you start getting a panic attack or you're feeling a little anxious. Smoke some flower or take some flower with, just a lighter. The different various ways to smoke it, and then that's medical cannabis. Now, there's other things you can make with it, like the dabs. They call them dabs. A lot of people aren't necessarily that familiar with that. What this is you take the plant and then you concentrate it. Just like you can buy at the store, like a little small vial of lavender concentrate, like an essential oil. Basically, you make an essential oil out of cannabis, but it's boiled down enough where it's just the straight oil, and you can either take that orally, you can smoke it. It's all different ways, but it's way stronger. And somebody would be taking this if they, let's say, they had cancer or some kind of severe medical condition. They take this because it's way more powerful than the flowers. You can also make what's called tinctures, and the tincture is just like any other kind of tincture. Just basically take some ethanol and soak some flour and leaves in it and let it sit for a couple minutes and take it out, and then whatever's left over, you take off the alcohol, and then whatever's left is a tincture. And people usually take this under their tongue. You can also make capsules out of cannabis. You just take the oil and you put them in the little gel tap capsules. They even have cannabis suppositories. So when we talk about medical cannabis, it's endless, and people use it for so many different things: MS, epilepsy. Get over opiate addiction. That's something people don't really talk, you don't see on the news. It helps cure opiate addiction. So there's just so many uses for it. And then let's talk about recreational cannabis real quick. So the thing about recreational cannabis is, and I say this, and recreational cannabis is medical cannabis. It's just the person using it is not using it in that mindset. They're getting relief from anxiety or a bad day at work, or they want to have a good time and they want to let go a little bit. They're getting those reliefs, but they don't have the mindset of it being medical, so they call it recreational. But in fact, it's the same thing, and it is the same effects. It's just the mindset and the purpose. So Tommy Chong asserts that there's really no difference between the two, and it's not. They're both reacting on the brain and the body the same way. And that's how, and we'll talk about the final thing I want to talk about is, how does medical cannabis work? Now, I'm going to go off the best understanding I have of this. I've been actively researching, working in this field, as far as researching a lot for, 2 or 3 years now. Probably 3 years plus my prior experience. So I'm going to go off as best information I have. If someone else has any more better information, please post it up in the comments. Let me know. I might have made a mistake or misspoke. But this is something, when you hear it, you might be like, you might be making that up. Because this stuff's not taught in school. I went through all the way through college. One of my best classes I had in college was, I got a first one of the first A's I ever made in college was in biology. I mean, I went through and got my master's degree. I've been all through the academic arena, never heard of this. They don't tell people about it. But the way medical cannabis works is, in your body, and everybody has this, there's a system called the endocannabinoid system. And everywhere throughout your body are little receptors that pick up these endocannabinoids. And these are molecules in plants. It's not just cannabis that has these, but cannabis has a very high concentration of these. That's when they talk about synthetic marijuana. Everybody's heard of the synthetic marijuana. They call it synthetic marijuana because that stuff activates the endocannabinoid system. In sort of a different, it's the same kind of compounds, but it activates it, but it apparently is not in a very good way, because all you hear is the horror stories. Medical marijuana, or marijuana, has none of those effects, right? You rarely hear, I mean, somebody might eat too much of an edible and then jump out of a window. I mean, those things do happen. But not to the extent of the synthetic marijuana. So everyone has the endocannabinoid system in your body. And you have them in your gut, you have them in your brain, your lungs, your liver, your stomach, everywhere. And what this system does is it pulls your body to homeostasis or balance. So let's say you broke your toe. Right then, your skeletal system is out of balance. You have the pain, you have the hurt, you have the anxiety from it, have all those things pulling your system out of being correct. When you use cannabis and you use those high concentrations of the THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol, and the CBD, the cannabidiol, when you get those high concentrations into your system, they bind with those receptors in the endocannabinoid system and begin to pull your body. Think of it like a balance scale, where you see the attorney balance scale. They begin to push that scale back down on the other side and try to pull it up. Now, I have a theory with this, and this is easily tested. And I'm not suggesting anybody go out there and smoke cannabis. And I'm not, if you have a medical card, but if you have to be over 21 if you want to. But this is, you can try this at home, kind of try this theory out. The next time you have a cold, like a really bad flu, if you're over 21, go to the store and buy some cannabis flower and use it however you prefer. You will notice that it takes a lot of that for you to feel something off of it. And that is because your body is out of whack. And the same thing, if you have a broken bone, a person with a broken bone has to take a whole lot of cannabis to get high off of it because their body is so out of whack. That's why when people use recreational cannabis, let's say just a regular person, a jogger, a healthy person, they're eat healthy, a vegan, they're all ready to go, they go in and buy marijuana and they use it, they're going to get high off of it. Why is that? It's because their endocannabinoid, their system, if they're really healthy, is in balance or very close to being balanced. So remember, it's like a scale. So when you start stacking those cannabinoids up on one side, it starts bringing, you go into feeling high because your body's in balance. So you get that euphoric feeling, as opposed to somebody with cancer or MS or HIV or whatever their teeth, whatever they have, it takes far more for them to get that feeling because their body's so far out of whack and their systems are so far out of whack. So that endocannabinoid system keeps your body in homeostasis. And when I first read these things, I was amazed because, again, they don't teach this in school. So, and another way medical cannabis works are the terpenes. And not only does cannabis have THC in it and CBD, they also have high concentrations of terpenes, which are the smell molecules. And those are things like limonene, that's in a lemon, myrcene, myrcene's a mango, pinene, like pine tree, a couple other ones. But these are the things that you smell in cannabis. And those also have very high therapeutic effects. You can go online and look up medicinal uses of limonene, medicinal uses of pinene, medicinal uses of myrcene, and they're all out there. Oh, and linalool is the one in lavender. Those and that is a known sedative, and it is very prominent in cannabis strains. And what the terpenes do is they actually determine the effect of each strain. So they come along for the ride, as it were, with the THC and give each strain their special effect. So one strain might have one effect, another strain with pinene might have a different, it has a different effect. Now, I'm not going to go into all the names. Frankly, I think that's one of the big things they need to try to get away from are the names and start identifying cannabis by their terpenes, because like we were saying, that's the thing that determines the effects. So that's a little bit of information on medical cannabis, what's going on in Washington with it, what is it, and how it works. My name is Lucas Barfield. I am a medical cannabis writer and researcher here in Washington State. and also doing this radio show on the record. If you have a topic that you'd like me to cover or something to comment on this show, please leave it in comments below this episode. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them for you. You can check out my writing in the magazine Marijuana Ventures or on Ganjapreneur's website. And you can find me on Facebook. And don't forget to check us out at RadioTacoma.org. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye. There's a girl in my vestibule singing propaganda. Her name is Beauregard. She's from Nicaragua. Beauregard's a man's name. Seems strange. Seems strange. Give you